Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Here in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. But that doesn't mean we're going to have a dampened sports conversation. There's always a lot to talk about. So welcome inside Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Bob Pompiani here. It's Matty Harkins behind the glass taking your calls. And that number is a simple one to remember. It's 412-928-9370. Make sure you call it. The Fan text line is brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless they get money for you. And our Twitter on The Fan is brought to you by South Hills Kia. In Peters Township, visit them at southhillskia.com. Our show brought to you by the good people of Number One Cochrane. Shop 24/7 with Expressway at cochrane.com. PNC Bank, make today the day. Ireland Contracting, home of the sports call. Shandorovich, Shandorovich, and Fishman, they got your back, not your wallet. And Iron Rock Tap House in Greensburg. Come see what everyone's talking about. And what we're talking about today, at least we'll start here. Diana Rossini of ESPN has just tweeted this out. The Steelers are open to listening to trade offers for Deontay Johnson. This is interest from teams around the league as GMs are getting set for free agency. So we have the, quote, legal tampering period on Monday, which is always interesting for me. The legal tampering, as opposed to the illegal tampering, which I'm sure has already gone on. But that's the way it goes in the NFL. And, you know, quite frankly, I think we've talked about Deontay Johnson before and the fact that he is a guy who has been the subject of a lot of trade speculation. For me, if he's not satisfied with his role, which I think is a number two to George Pickens and should be a number two to George Pickens, then fine, deal him. Get a nice pick. What would it get? A second-round pick maybe? He's in the final year of a contract if that's what he wants, and if that's what they want, then do it. They can always find wide receivers, I think, in different places. And this is not to say that Deontay Johnson is not a good wide receiver. When he's on, he is good, but there are too many incidents like what we saw in that Cincinnati game where the fumble came out and he seemed to ignore it and, you know, celebrating in a game that was completely over when he got a touchdown. Those sorts of things are little nuisance things for me. But overall, if you get him the ball, he's capable of making big plays. And I think there are a lot of teams around the NFL who would like to have him. So that could be a good situation for the Steelers. Anyway, that's not where I wanted to start. That just happened, so I brought it up. We're going to get more into football stuff in a second, and I know you want to talk about that at 412-928-9370. I want to start with the trade deadline for the Penguins, and what direction do you think the Penguins are headed? This was not a surprise that Jake Ensel was dealt. Kyle Dubas pretty much said that the contract talks with Ensel did go on. There were offers, but you know, he wanted more than they were willing to pay, quite frankly. So therefore, they had to make a decision. You can't let him go and get to the offseason and get nothing for him. So what they got for him was a guy named Michael Benting, who I like. He's a steady top six performer with Carolina. He has been. He's been on their power play. He's a good guy. He carries a $4.5 million price tag, which is essentially what the Penguins have got to pay for the rest of Jake Ensel, I think. So it's kind of a, you know, even transaction from a financial point of view, but he's a good player. He has a couple of years left on a contract. He can certainly help the top six somewhere. They've also picked up prospects. And again, people always ask, what do you think about the deal? And really, the answer should be, who knows until you see these prospects. They got three prospects, but two of them are supposed to be legit. They're not among the best prospects in Carolina's system. Two of them are former second-round picks. They're young at 20 and 21. Can they have a role in this? Probably. When? Who knows? So before you grade anything like this, you'd have to ask the question, what are those prospects going to be like? Michael Bunting's a good player. I like him. But they need more than that. They also acquired two, quote, conditional draft picks. Now, if you're a fan of number one picks and you want the Penguins to get Carolina's, then you would expect and root for them to get to the Stanley Cup final. They are poised to do that. They have a very good team. Right now, one of the best in the East, adding Guentzel to their either the Aho line or the Natchez line will give them something they haven't had in the postseason, which is a guy who can finish. Guentzel is a proven product in the postseason. He can finish. Carolina has had good teams, but they can't finish. They can't score enough goals. He will help them in that regard. But if they get to the Stanley Cup final, then the Penguins get Carolina's first-round pick. And if they do that, that means they're going to be pick number 31 at best. I'm not so optimistic about the 31st overall pick. If they don't get to the Stanley Cup final, then they get Carolina's pick that they got from the Flyers, which was a second-round pick, which would be in the late 40s or early 50s. So I'd be more excited if this was a top 10 pick, but it's not going to be because Carolina's a good team. But they got to get to the final. And if so, the best case for the Penguins is the 31st pick. So they'll have their own pick plus the 31st pick. Again, draft picks in the NHL are hard to assess, and how quickly or not they get to the top team is debatable. So we'll see what happens with that. But again, I honestly, I've never seen these guys play. And anyone who is talking about this likely hasn't seen any of these guys play. You can look at videotape, and they're impressive. But they're 20 and 21, and most likely not going to be here next year, although you never know. So we'll await a grade on that. I would say that losing Guentzel is not a good thing, but I also think a harsher grade for me would come looking back into the Penguins and Kyle Dubas's first year on the job. There were some mistakes made. They got rid of a lot of contracts that they didn't want in the Carlson deal, which was fine, except paying Carlson that kind of money. They kind of doubled down on something they already had. I think they needed to go in another direction there defensively, not just another clone of Chris Letang, which is pretty much what Carlson is. They didn't do that. They got him. Everybody was so excited to think they're going to be a Stanley Cup contender. Well, they have top every talent. And there's a quote yesterday that Evgeny Malkin gave out that I think rings true. And this was his quote. We have great players. We don't have a great team. And that's pretty much what the Penguins are right now. They have a lot of great players, Hall of Famers to be, but they don't have a great team. So they're going to try to change that. By getting younger, by getting, you know, a lot of draft picks that they hope can turn into something. Now, whether or not these former number two picks from Carolina can turn into contributors, we'll wait and we'll see. I think the Penguins are still waiting on some of their own. Sam Poulin's a guy, you know, that Legacy was a guy that they thought would be here or much earlier. They're not even here yet. So it's hard. It's not easy to get NHL players who are drafted as young kids to go through the system and come up and be productive players. They need some of that. They had that when they won Stanley Cup championships. They had guys, an influx from Wilkes-Barre Scranton, the Rusts of the world, the Wilsons of the world, the Kunackles of the world, the Jake Guentzel eventually, a third-round pick. They need guys like that to come up and blossom. Same with the Pirates. I mean, it's very similar in that regard. They got players that look good on paper, but what will they be? So this is where the Penguins are right now, and it leads to an offseason after they traded Chad Ruido and also Ty Smith and Magnus Hellberg. Those are, you know, incidental pieces. I don't think you have to worry about that so much. But they're going to have money to spend in the offseason. Where they spend it is going to be critical. How they spend it will be critical. To me, Ryan Graves was a lot of money and a lot of term for someone who I thought was going to be much better. Now, maybe he will be much better. Patience is very, very much a virtue and a necessity in sports. I think we need to remember that. Because even though this first year did not look good, I think Ryan Graves has better potential. If not, that's a bad contract. I think, and this goes back to the Hextall days, he did a bad job leaving what was in. Kyle Dubas inherited this, and he's trying to dig his way out of this. In terms of heavy contracts to guys like Brian Rust, guys like Rickard Rakell, you know, they're... To me, they could have used that money to sign Guentzel, who I'd rather have than Rickard Rakell, but they did that. So they're kind of stuck with it. And as I talked to Joe Starkey this week, I'm a big non-advocate of no trade clauses. Somehow they got introduced into the game. They're the worst thing going. GMs get strapped because they can't move guys. Once it gets into a game, it doesn't go out of the game. It only gets worse. And then you start giving partial trade clauses to these people who have no business getting any of that. I understand it's in the game. It's not going to go away. The NHL Players Association, or for that matter, any professional sports union, they won't let it get away. It's part of why guys make decisions. But to me, it's the worst thing, one of the worst things that got into sports. 412-928-9370 is the number to call there. The Penguins will be in Boston today, and then they have Edmonton at home tomorrow. Connor McDavid and company. You're going to see a real 1-2 punch on playoff teams coming up here with Boston, which is hopeful of winning a Stanley Cup. They have a very good team, and Edmonton, which has put it together after they fired their coach, brought in a new coach. And Knobloch, their head coach now, has been terrific in terms of getting the most out of this team. So, Zach Hyman's turned into a 44-goal scorer. Who would have thought that? But he's playing extremely well on a line with Connor McDavid. You'll see them tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Today's game with Boston is at 3 o'clock. The other topic, of course, is Russell Wilson was in town. From what I understand, still may be. If not, he's leaving today. But he was making the rounds. He went to the Giants first, Pittsburgh second. And the big question that people are asking is, does this mean they'll sign him? You know, that's a reasonable question. To me, it goes against what they've kind of said about Kenny Pickett. Mike Tomlin has been pretty stern in saying that he's going to come back and he will be at the top of the depth chart. And that's fine. Again, I mentioned patience in the previous comment about professional athletes and you know, hockey players. Patience is a good thing. Sometimes it's a bad thing. But you have to see how guys react. The one thing about Kenny Pickett that I'll say is I've always been intrigued with some of the stuff he does late in games. But you have to also consider some context with that. Most of the time in those situations, they were trailing. Teams kind of called off the dogs, went in to prevent. Things became open. He didn't feel the pressure that he would feel in the first three quarters, which is where some of his weaknesses occur, where he's trying to spin away from pressure as opposed to absorbing it in the pocket. I still think Kenny Pickett, and we saw in the Cincinnati game, the one game he had after the Matt Canada firing, it was very encouraging what he did in that game. And if you're of the belief that the coaching held him back with Matt Canada, then why would you not think that a new offensive coordinator would help him? Arthur Smith's coming in here. He's brought a new quarterback coach in Tom Arth. If you believe that there is some talent in there that hasn't been extracted and then this man can do it, then you owe it to yourself to give him an opportunity, right? If you're the Steelers, 20th overall first-round pick, you're just going to give up on him that quickly? A lot of people want to. A lot of people think 25 games is a big enough sample size to make that decision. I don't know. I'd be willing to see what this new staff can do with him. The only way that happens is if Russell Wilson doesn't come here. Because to me, like Justin Fields, if either of those guys come here, they would be starters. Because they have better resumes. Because you're investing in them. Right? Russell Wilson won't cost any money. Denver, I don't know what Denver does sometimes. $242 million deal. 2 years into it, they say that's enough. $85 million in dead cap hit money. They're going to pay him $39 million this year. And the Steelers can pay him whatever they want. And that's attractive. I get it. But if he comes here, I don't believe he'll be agreeable to be a backup. And if he is the starter, what have you learned about Kenny Pickett? You know, sooner or later, there's an option to be picked up, and they're expensive options. And if you have no real understanding of what your quarterback is, how can you pick up that option? So I think that's where they are with this. So my gut would tell me, as much as I think Russell Wilson is a talented quarterback, had a pretty good year, there are detractors out there. People at age 35 think that maybe you've seen the best of him, and you won't get that here. But if he did come here, would he give them a better chance? Oh, yeah, he would, because he's established. He knows exactly how to play the game. Kenny Pickett's still learning that part of this. But to me, if you bring him in, you're now saying that Kenny Pickett may not get the chance that he needs and that the organization needs to figure out what he is before he gets to option years and things they have to make decision-wise. Now, to me, I've always said, I believe what they say about Mason Rudolph, that they'd like to have him back. And, you know, there would be a competition, but I think they would look at that differently than Russell Wilson. At least I would. If Russell Wilson's here, he can't be a bad, unless he's agreeable, unless they have a conversation and say, hey, we want you here to help him. and he's agreeable to that, knowing that he's still a very competitive guy and would love to start, I think that would be interesting, but I just got the feeling that's not going to happen. 412-928-9370. Let's go out to Flash in Munhall, who joins us here on the Fan Hotline. What's up, Flash? How are you today?
Family.
What's that?
How's your family doing?
Oh, doing great. Thank you.
That's good. Tell my son hi. Hey, listen, I'm tired of this musical chairs with quarterbacks, you know? It's all they got to do is kick Kenny and Rudolph. I don't want these retreads.
Yeah, I think that's going to be the way they go, actually. And that's my gut.
I hope so, because you know what? They can do it. 1-2 punch. They got a good one there. And one more thing, Kenny Pickett was not the 20th pick. He was a 17th pick.
No, he was the 20th pick.
No, 17th. You check it.
No, 20th.
Okay, I thought it was the 17th.
Well, whatever. He's a first-round pick, Flash, and they're not going to just give up on him that easily, especially when they have things invested in him and they have to make a future decision about it.
This is only going to be his third year. It took Bradshaw 4 years. 4. 70, 71, 72, 73, and then he won a Super Bowl.
Yeah, with a bad team that got better, and he was a big reason for it. So, yes, that's what I said before.
Exactly right.
Patience. It's a big word. Yeah. A lot of people don't have it today in sports. GMs don't have it. Sometimes fans certainly don't have it, but you have to have it sometimes to develop players. Thanks for the call, Flash. I appreciate it. We're going to take a break. 412-928-9370. I see a lot of people ringing in. We'll get you hooked up and get on here. Your thoughts about all these things I covered. And I'd like to also get into the Pirates. And one kid I'm really excited about watching, and I hope he gets a chance at some point, is Jared Jones. We've seen him in a couple of appearances. He's only 22. That's what I like most about him. Could he crack the starting rotation? Based on what we've seen, and he's moved up pretty quickly through their system, I would like to see that. He had 101 the other day on the gun. We talk about Chapman. We talk about Priester. But this guy can bring it as well. More on that coming up. 412-928-9370 is the number to call. Get in now. Let's talk sports up until 1 o'clock right here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Hey, you heard me talk about the Turn Club. That's a great place on a day like today. If you're looking for a place to hit some golf balls, get some great food, Turn Club in Cranberry. That's a good place to start. Meantime, our show is brought to you by number one Cochran. Shop 24/7 with Expressway at Cochran.com. PNC Bank, make today the day. Shenderovich, and Fishman. They got your back, not your wallet. Ireland Contracting, you know them. Home of the nightly sports call right here on The Fan and also KDK Plus. And Iron Rock Tap House in Greensburg. Great place to go and watch sports on a rainy day like today. Also, I want to remind you about the start of the soccer season. Riverhounds in action today. You can watch them on KDK Plus beginning at 4 o'clock against New Mexico. If you're going to pick a team that may have the closest to winning a championship, the Riverhounds are probably going to be the choice. If you look at it realistically, they had the best record in the USL last year. They got the Shield Player Shield Award. They got knocked out in the playoffs, unfortunately, but they have a very good nucleus of players coming back, and they start today against New Mexico. The home opener is next Saturday night at Highmark Stadium. In the meantime, let's go back to the lines. We have Wayne in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. Hi, Wayne. How are you?
Hey, Bob. Hey, I'm a big Justin Fields fan. Would the Steelers consider trading him for Deontay?
No, I doubt that. I think what the Steelers would be looking at are picks for him. I also don't think Chicago would give up Justin Fields for Deontay Johnson.
Really?
Their goal, obviously, it looks like they're going to take Caleb Williams. That's fine. So they would need wide receiving help, although they have a pretty good one in DJ Moore there to start. And they have some other good talent. But I think they'll be looking for something more than that. If they're going to – and it looks like they're going to trade him. I just – again, if you're the Steelers, there was talk a lot about it, but – and there's talk all the time about all players. Realistically, if you're going to do that, you have to commit to him 100%. He has an option due. There are too many things in place so that Justin Fields would have to start here, and then you'd have to end up not utilizing Kenny Pickett most likely, and I don't think they're going to go down that road.
Yeah. Well, I think there would be pluses. Obviously, get rid of the $18 million, have money to pay Justin Fields, and the wide receiver core apparently is very heavy this year. So,
you mean in the draft?
Right.
Yeah.
So the possibility of finding replacements.
Well, there's also free agent guys. You know, you could look at a lot of different people out there. There were a couple of people familiar with Pittsburgh from the Cincinnati Bengals. Tyler Boyd, free agent. They may be interested in him. You know,
I'll take him.
Yeah, so there are a lot of options in play, and it's still such an unfinished product that it's hard to assess what exactly they have. Once you start getting into July, when everything's finalized and they go through mini camp and all that, heading into training camp, you'll have a better idea what this team can be. But thanks, man. Appreciate the call from Lancaster. Let's go out to Brian in Brookline, who joins us on line two. Hello, Brian. How are you?
Hey, Bob.
Uh-oh. I'm sorry, Brian. I think we had a disconnection there for some reason. Not sure what happened. But let's go out to the top of the board. Call back if you were on, Brian. Sorry about that. Let's go to Joe in Verona. Hi, Joe. How are you?
Hey, Bob. Good morning.
Hey.
Listen, the thing that bothers me is like a lot of the general managers and scouts through the NFL have taken as a second or third rounder. And, you know, like Artie Burns, you know what that was, first round, Bush. So the thing, another thing that bothers me is they have Rudolph in their eyes as a first rounder. They confuse me, the Steelers. So I think Pickett was very lucky to get labeled a first rounder and picked, because I really believe he is not a first rounder. And there's where a lot of the trouble stems from, him being, you know, this, and he runs out of the pocket. So I think there's going to be a big problem here. And we just got to cross our fingers that this works out, Bob.
Yeah, I mean, you get, you know, certainly mixed signals when you're listening to people talk about things before they happen. You know, I don't know if the Steelers are trying to play coy with this. To your point, Joe, there were a lot of teams that there was a belief that Pickett was going to go 6 overall to Seattle. There were other teams that needed him that could have drafted him. None of them took Pickett, which made me think they weren't going to pick him either. But when he fell down to them, I think Mike Tomlin has a different kind of relationship because he got to know him very well over those years and saw something in him that he liked. They end up making that move. Again, it's too early for me to say that it's a failed draft pick. I want to see more.
Okay, I was going to ask you what you thought about that, but now that you just said what you gave me the answer. Well, thanks, Bob, and have a good weekend.
All right.
And happy Easter if I don't happen to talk to you.
Thanks, Joe. You too. Appreciate it. But I would say the same about Mason Rudolph. Maybe they were too late and get him in there. You know, they should have gotten him in there. They went to Mitch Trubisky, and it just didn't work. So they signed him to a deal that really brought nothing to them in terms of production. And they went to Rudolph, and you saw glimmer, hey, maybe this guy is what they originally thought, which was a first-round feel for a guy who went in the third round. I don't know. There's a lot in play here. But, again, I think patience is important when you start evaluating these quarterbacks. And if you come to a rush judgment, you know, but they're also in the business of trying to win and end a 7-year-long playoff drought, right? They got and if Russell Wilson can help you do that with a veteran defense – if you remember Russell Wilson when he was at his very best, that was the Legion of Boom days in Seattle. They had a defense that was making life easy for a quarterback. Take nothing away from what he did, because he was a third-round pick who went there and developed into a really good franchise quarterback. But he also had a tremendous defense that allowed him to make some mistakes and overcome them. And people forgot about some of them when he was still very raw on the job. I think this defense here... Now, they have high-end players. Can they round it out and become a good team? They released a lot of people this week, you saw, from Keanu Neal, who did not get through his physical, to Patrick Peterson. Levi Wallace is going to become a free agent. He's likely gone. They're going to need some pieces back there before they can call themselves a finished defense. So they got a lot of work ahead of them. My point, though, is if you have a good defense and Russell Wilson could come in and help your offense and you're trying to win now, that is not a bad situation, especially at $1.2 million or whatever the case may be. That's a cheap price. It's low risk. It's low money. I would do it. But again, if you're asking me, their thought is they want to try to extract something from Kenny Pickett that they believe they have. And they have a new offensive coordinator, new quarterback coach. So they believe that could be the thing that unlocks his talent. We'll see. This one makes it always fun to talk about and watch. Let's go to Sean in Imperial, line number two. Sean, how are you today?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Good,
hey,
thanks.
Bob, I'm doing great. How are you?
Good. What's up, man?
Hey, I called in last week, actually, and we were talking Russell Wilson and Fields, and I'm glad they brought in, you know, Russ for the meeting, but I'm hoping they still have a little something in their up their sleeve for Justin Fields. And like you said, maybe the price will get down to a third-round pick and life will be good. But I wanted to call in about golf. We're currently – in the middle of round three of the Arnold Palmer Invitational. You know, Arnie, a guy from Latrobe. Wanted to see if he had any good
Bay Hill,
any
one
good
of the best
Arnold Palmer stories.
I do. I have a lot of honorable palms. I'll tell you this. We went down to Bay Hill, and I've known Doc Giffen and Arnold for a long time. Doc's his right-hand man over the years. And we went down to do an 80th birthday special, 1 hour long special. So I called him to make sure we can do it. He said, yes, we went down, flew to Bay Hill. And in the middle of the interview, you know, we're sitting there and having a nice conversation about all the things that have happened in Arnold's life. And he just, has a little gas explosion, you know what I mean? Which was very loud. And I told him, I said, Arnold, you want us to stop? You know, oh no, that's life. That happens, especially you get older. And he just went right on with it. You know what I mean? It was funny to see his reaction, and I was like, uh-oh, we better stop the tape. We don't want that, but he didn't care. But we had a great conversation. If you remember, on his 80th birthday, I had a big thing for him over at PNC Park.
Yeah, he was a legend. Love Arnold Palmer. Do you have a favorite in the tournament this weekend for golf?
I was thinking that I always say Scheffler, but Scheffler's involved in everything because he's that good. I know Wyndham Clark's up at the top of the leaderboard, and I think that guy has legit pedigree. He's won a major already. Matsuyama's another guy. They got a big leaderboard there. I don't know how many guys are within a striking distance, you know, heading into this, but you could pick a lot of people. I don't know. I mean, if I'm going to pick one, I'll stick with Scheffler, but if I think I look at a dark horse, someone who could come from behind and win, it might be Justin Thomas, who's playing better than he has been recently, and he's three out of the lead, so I'll give you that.
I'm going to take Hideki Matsuyama, but hey, Bob, you're the best. I appreciate you taking the time.
Thanks, Sean. Appreciate that. Makes me think. I like talking about golf, and next year at this time, we'll be really getting close to the U.S. Open in Oakmont. So a lot of heavy talk about that and some of the players you may be seeing. And the thing about those majors is you get to see the LIV golf players along with the PGA. And now that they're supposedly, you know, in together, even though that's not happening, there's a lot of friction. We saw it last year at the Masters for the very first time when they had not made a deal, which happened later in the year. And you saw those guys over there, and they go to the Champions dinner, and Dustin Johnson, Brooks Koepka are there mixing with people like Rory McIlroy, who's been. I think Rory has too much on his plate, to be honest with you. I think it's really true. If you watch the Netflix show called Full Swing, you'll get a good idea that the guy's being driven in 10 directions and his golf game has suffered as a result. I think golf is one of those you got to concentrate on everything. It's no matter how good you are, there's also a field of players trying to catch you, and you got to make sure. But, you know, he as the face, quote, face of the PGA, I think it's affected his game. Let's go to Guy in California before we go to a break here. Guy joins us right now on the Fan Hotline. Hey, Guy.
Thanks a lot, Bob. I can talk hockey, right?
Yeah, you can talk whatever you want. I keep it open to all things because I think hockey's a good topic. What direction do you think the Penguins are headed?
Well, you know, first of all, I just want to say, and know you're pressed for time, you know, that you know, since all the sports reporters in Pittsburgh have retired or semi-retired with Stan passing, you are now the voice of reason in Pittsburgh sports. So, but listen, after that recent collapse, after that collapse in Calgary and Edmonton and Washington, you knew a shakeup was coming. I didn't want to see it, but it was. The Gensel trade is as good as you expect. They have that one player that is one of the prospects of the prospect, but supposedly, listen on the radio, the guy, Ville Koivunen, his name is, he's playing in Finland. And he said, well, he's playing in Europe. And then the Finnish rinks are the same size as the North American rinks, as opposed to the supersized European rinks, which are 15 feet wider. Mm-hmm. And for Malkin to criticize the team, please, he was last seen on a milk carton.
Yep.
And just a quick thing, with these playoffs coming up, as far as they go real quick, in the East, I think it's Florida Panthers to lose. And in the West, I think the teams have all built up for nuclear annihilation. It's like what they call it, the mutual assured destruction. You know, the Oilers are locked in, and what Vegas did with all those
they brought in a lot of guys, and they have a lot of guys out with injury, and they're saving money, and they're manipulating the salary cap, not unlike Tampa Bay.
Yeah, getting Mantha, Hannafin, and Hurdle is pretty incredible. But the problem is the Knights GM. I say the Knights GM McCrimmon, he throws around draft picks like they were, like he was as though he were a drunk at a craps table in Vegas throwing around, poker chips. You know, it's going to be exciting, though, to see the first round of hockey playoffs is one of the most exciting times in all sports.
No, I agree with that. I think that, and thanks, Guy. I really appreciate the call. That and the NBA first round with a play-in. You know, I've advocated the NHL to go to one of these play-in tournaments. And I know that hardcore people were going to say no for this, but if you look at the success of the NBA, where they have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 all guaranteed, and then 7, 8, 9, and 10 have to play one game series. 7 versus 10, 8 versus 9, winners advance. Losers play, and the two remaining will get the final two spots. I think there's a lot of drama in that as well. Even though that's, to some, a radical maneuver, hockey's fascinating. That's why you want to just get in. You never know what can happen. We've seen more 8 seeds and 7 seeds and lower seeds get deep into the playoffs, which is why I think Dubas was waiting to see what this team was. But by waiting as long as he did, I think he probably cost himself what would have been a better package of players potentially. But again, we'll see what they do. That's a team that's getting, to the point where this window is closing quicker than they would have liked. And Malkin, to your point, had a lot to do with that. I don't know what's happened to his game, but he's skating around, still taking penalties in the offensive zone and doing things that I would not expect him to do this far into his career, and he's not scoring goals. So although he had a couple in the last two games, he needs to continue that and has to be consistent throughout the course of the year. Want to remind you about the Giant Eat Feed the Need benefit, Greater Pittsburgh Community Food Bank. It is coming up on Tuesday, March 26th. You can donate now at 937thefan.com or text NEED to 50155. It's brought to you by Dollar Bank, Pittsburgh Regional Transit, Wiggle Whiskey, Hampton Beer Outlet, Bill Few Associates, Wealth Management, and Spitzer Toyota. And there are a lot of people out there who are food insecure. They need help. This is your opportunity to do that. 412-928-9370. We'll take a break. Got a Matt Harkins update coming up. More of your calls on the flip side. This is the Bob Pompeiani Show, Sports Radio, 93.7 The Fan. It's a dreary day out there. It's going to be rainy all day. We'll have the weather coming up at the end of this hour and heading into the next hour. In the meantime, we're talking sports. We have covered a lot. We're going to continue to do that. What direction do you think the Penguins are headed in? Steelers, what are they doing as free agency? We talk a lot about needs. They released, of course, Mason Cole and Presley Harvin last week. They have a guy named Mitch Morse who's out there who's going to be visiting them. He's a 32-year-old center from Buffalo who was cut because of salary reasons. We'll get into that. And also Pitt basketball later tonight. You get a chance to hear them right here on the home for Panther Sports, 93.7 The Fan. Pitt needs a win. Do you think they're worthy of the NCAA tournament? And if not, what do they have to do? 412-928-9370. That's the number. Hit me up on Twitter at KD Pomp. Let's go to Rich in Forest Hills who joins us right now. Hello, Rich. How are you?
How are you doing today?
Good, thanks.
Hey, one thing about the Penguins and one thing about the NHL, I think Drew just missed the opportunity to really do more to this team. I think he just kept extending the deadline. At no point after December did they pass the sniff test for me. So if he wasn't going to make a trade to improve the team, I think he should have been realistic in starting to dismantle the team. I still think that the worst signing in recent years has been just re-signing Malkin. I mean, it's easy to say that. I've been saying that for 5 years now. It just takes up too much of your cap space. It's kind of like having Roethlisberger around when he's, you got to pay him big bucks because of his seniority tenure and all that stuff.
Hey, Rich, you sound muzzled. Is there any way you can change that? I don't know what you're doing, but it's hard to hear what you're saying.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's better.
Verizon.
That's better.
Yeah. Well, I think they made a big mistake in re-signing Malkin. That set them on a path that made it very difficult. But
agreed.
My point about the NHL is I think that the NHL is still like the seventh most popular professional league in this country. A little gimmick I think they should propose for the playoffs, and I've said this before, is if you're seeded number one, you get your choice in the field of who you want to play in the first round. And subsequent rounds, whoever's the highest remaining seed gets to pick their opponents. And I think that would create intense rivalries into the following season. I think it would I mean, your shows would be – can you imagine the Penguins being the first seed and they've got their choice of six teams to play against in the first round? I mean, you wouldn't have a chance to talk about the Pirates or the Steelers.
I don't think that'll ever happen because I just don't – I think they're not willing to make radical changes, and that sounds to me like a radical change.
You don't think it would be interesting?
There are a lot of things that would be interesting. I'd rather have them, as I said before, go through a little play-in thing involving team 6 or 7, 8, 9, and 10 and have the two that survive those become the 7th and 8th seeds. But I don't, who knows? Thanks for the call, though. I appreciate it. 412-928-9370. Let's head out to DJ in the North Versailles area. What's up, DJ? How are you?
Yeah, Bob, about this quarterback situation. Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
What is the most important player on a football team?
It's always a quarterback. It's why they make the most money.
All right. When they have the Super Bowl, is it a form of competition?
Okay, where are you going with this? Just get to the point, DJ. I don't know where you're headed.
To the point is, if you can't compete, you can't win. If the Steelers were patient, you're talking about patience. If the Steelers were patient enough to wait 40 years to win their first Super Bowl, why can't they draft a young quarterback and compete with Pickett and Rudolph and let the best man win?
Well, they may end up doing exactly that. I think that's probably the best scenario you got, because I don't think they're going to want to have anyone come in here and start over Pickett. Based on just the person who it is, it's a guy like Russell Wilson to me is not going to be agreeable to be a backup. So if you're going to do that, then your anticipation is to start him and not Pickett. So that's why I think they're going to do that. They should draft somebody, and there's always room for growth here. But it's the most the reason you're hearing so much talk about some of these outside guys is because the Steelers haven't been in and been successful in the playoffs for 7 years, and they have some very good players, especially on defense. They need to take advantage of that before their window closes, like the Penguins' window appears to have closed with these guys. So if you can get a quarterback who can speed that up, Russell Wilson could be that guy. Justin Fields potentially could be that guy. Do they think Kenny Pickett can be that guy? We're going to find out in this upcoming season. This is the most important season of his career, no doubt, because they have to figure out everything, including his option if they want to keep him around afterwards.
Well, all our competing teams in our division have drafted quarterbacks.
So have the Steelers. They drafted Rudolph, and they drafted Pickett.
Well, it's not working out, so I think they want to keep three players. They need three to work with. Draft one. If you want to win,
I'll tell you what, DJ, there's no guarantee. Thanks for the call. There's no guarantee that no matter who you draft, it could be Caleb Williams on the first pick of the draft. He may not. Thanks for the call. We'll drop you there. You're a lot of phone issues here today. I don't know what the heck's going on. Maybe it's the weather. But, you can draft someone one overall, two overall, and still miss. We've seen too many examples of that. You can tell me, and you've seen third and fourth rounders succeed, right? Dak Prescott's a fourth rounder. A guy like Russell Wilson's a third rounder. Tom Brady's a sixth rounder. There are other good success stories out there. That doesn't mean just because you have the first overall pick that Caleb Williams is a slam dunk. You have to make the decision, and if you do it, you're stuck with it. Mitch Trubisky was two overall. Look where he is now. Just a veteran backup somewhere year to year to year. So it ain't easy just to say, okay, in the third round we're going to pick Bo Nix or whomever. Fine, you can bring them in. Let's see what they got. It takes time. That's why I'm saying patience. Greg in Youngstown joins us right now on the Fan Hotline. He's up. What's up, Greg? Hey, Greg. Greg, are you there?
Are you there?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. You know what I like about the Steelers now? Omar Khan's running the team. Because if Tomlin was running the team like last year, Peterson and Robinson and Harvin would have been cut. And I think, Bruni, like, you guys run the team now. Tomlin coaches, you make the moves. And I like what they're doing. Go after that center from Buffalo. And then maybe in the first round you go after Bo Nix from Oregon. You know what? Don't go after Wilson. Wilson's a train wreck. We don't need another train wreck on this team. But I think they're doing the right thing with Omar Khan. I love his moves. I think he's going to go after better players to fill those positions he cut. And I just, they're not trying to keep people because they're friends. I think they're trying to get the best players on the team now.
Thanks, Greg. Appreciate it. We'll see how that goes. You know, this is a very big off season for them. They have a lot of things they have to figure out. Still, the inside linebacker is of critical importance. They haven't been able to do that. Patrick Queen is someone who's out there. Is that a possibility for them? They've signed a lot of people over the years to try to find someone to replace Ryan Shazier so many years ago, and they're still looking for that answer. They have safety help that they need. There's no question about that. Cornerback, they're down to not much. They need some people to come in here and start, and potentially they can get after, you know, Snead from Kansas City. That's a guy that interests me. You know, he was franchised. That doesn't necessarily mean that he won't be traded. Baltimore just gave a franchise tag to one of their best defensive players, and they extended that into a long-term $98 million deal. I don't know if they're going to do that in Kansas City or not. You can still trade guys. There's so much more yet to discuss about the Steelers in this roster. It's just the beginning stages. We haven't even gotten a free agency. We're going to get into the legal tampering coming up, and then after that, we'll see what happens. 412-928-9370. Got some weather for you. It's brought to you by Sun Chevrolet in McMurray. Save some green in March. You should do that at Sun Chevy or sunchevy.com. Today, breezy rain. Rain's going to be rather consistent, and it may lead to some travel disruption, so be safe on the roads. High of 53. Don't text while you drive. Please don't. It's not necessary. None of those texts you get are high urgent texts. So make sure you put it away and don't use it. Tonight, windy and considerable cloudiness, occasional evening rain, drizzle, followed by a couple of snow showers as the temperature drops to 32 degrees. That is your fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. We have another hour coming up. More calls on the way. Also want to talk a little bit about the Pirates and what you see from them so far. Are you encouraged? I'll tell you what, with a void in playoff activity here, having them get to a good start like they did last year would be something that I think everyone would like to see. But can they duplicate 20-9? 412-928-9370. That's the number to call. This is the Bob Pompeiani Show, Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.